Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up from 8 to 8.30, talking all things NFL. Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote at 7.15. The Nashville Predators going for win number 7 in a row tonight. They currently have the longest winning streak in the NHL at 6 games. And John Hines, former Preds coach, will make his return to Nashville tonight as head coach of the Minnesota Wild. So you have an opportunity to extend a winning streak to 7. And John Hines with an opportunity, Joe, to come in here tonight and ruin the party for the Nashville Predators. I've heard from a lot of Predators fans, and I've heard from our good friend Jared Stillman a lot the last couple of days. A lot of people really wanting the Predators to win this game tonight. Not very much an optimist of the John Hines coming in and ruining the party type of thing.
Yeah. Also, some people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, who I guess don't want or can't believe there would be a video tribute, as you've pointed out. Let's see. Let's go through some of the video tributes the Preds have done.
Well, they've done one for Matt Irwin.
Forgot he existed.
They did, I think, a combo one this year with Matt Benning and Luke Kunin.
Okay.
If I thought about it hard enough, I could think of more. There's going to be a video for John Hines tonight.
I would prepare yourself for it.
If
you've like bought as many as 4 beers at a Preds game, you may get a tribute video. If you move out of town and then come back in, just randomly like, hey, Rick from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, they will absolutely do a video tribute for John Hines. What will be the reaction? I bet you the reaction is polite golf clapping with like 5 people at different parts of the arena throwing out boo out.
I think you'll hear some boos.
Like, yeah, and then a little bit of boo, like Jared. Like,
yeah.
That was a great revelation that he gave, that he was at the, you know, the Titans game and he booed.
Boo!
And then he's like, Vrabel, why'd you put Malik in? Maybe Jared will be somewhere in that arena booing lustily as John Hines' tribute video plays, but he'll get one.
He'll get one.
And he should get – he wasn't a great coach. He will – right now he is the 3rd of 3 coaches in the history of the Preds. Right? He's the 3rd best, and Andrew Burnett started out pretty well. It's early. He may end up being the 4th of 4. He may end up being last place. Well, I mean, probably not though, right? Like 50 years from now, if they're still – a planet and sports and stuff like that.
They will eventually have
a worse coach than John Hines, right?
Eventually they will have a worse coach than John Hines.
It wasn't horrific. I mean, it's overstated.
I mean, far be it from me to tell the fan what to do. You can do what you want. I mean, my advice is simply just, all right, clap for about 30 seconds or stand up and wave and then move on. I mean, John Hines, I would imagine, is going to take like one look at the screen, like, all right, thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, like, don't moon him.
Just leave it alone. I mean, it's over at this point.
For all I know, Kaharski could be in the crowd with his phone.
But here's the other thing. Like, if you think he's that bad of a coach, then you should say, well, this is great news. He's now the head coach of a division rival in Minnesota, right? Like, if you think he's not good.
That's right.
This should be good news for you.
Misery.
If you're a Predators fan.
That's right. Misery continuing for the Wild.
Exactly. So
you should be happy.
I will say, if they come in there tonight and they just kick the Predators' butt, it's going to be a lot of – even though, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not a big deal because, the winning streak's going to have to come to an end at some point. But there will be a lot of upset Preds fans tonight if John Hines is the one to end the winning streak.
Will there be anybody saying, we need Hines back?
I don't think so.
I don't think that'll be it. Yeah.
I don't think so.
But it is. The stakes, from the fan perspective – elevate a little bit.
They do.
And first of all, you're the hottest team in the NHL, so there's already a lot of interest and excitement around that. And then you add in this. Does John Hines coming in have any sort of – is there any sort of concern about John Hines coming in, all the attention about that, and that having any sort of impact on the players? Maybe. Like, they try too hard, you grip the stick a little too tightly?
Well, one thing that I'm – If I'm a Predators fan, I would be concerned about, especially as they move into this weekend. They played a lot of games lately. I mean, they've had barely any time for practice. They played a lot of games, and they're entering into a stretch tonight where they play tonight. They play Saturday at home against New York, and then Sunday on the road against Buffalo. So you're heading into a 3-game and 4-day stretch tonight when you've already played a ton of hockey lately. Like I do, and that's what I go back to. We talked about 11 forward, 7 D. you know, it's worked out okay because they've won the games. But when you play 11 forwards, guys like Forsberg and O'Reilly, I mean, you're playing a lot. You're double shifting a lot of guys. So does that catch up to them at some point? And then, I mean, I would assume it's Saros tonight, probably Saros Saturday, and then Lincoln in Sunday. But, I mean, they're running into a stretch now where they've played a lot of hockey lately.
And the good thing is Lankanen is playing well.
He is.
So to use him a little bit more, that's not a bad thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's and the Rangers, you know, I mean,
they're very good.
That's a very, very good team. In fact, right now, that is the best team in the NHL.
Yep.
Just beat the Red Wings with a nice Jimmy Vesey goal. So how about that?
Matt on the text line says, did he get one when he coached here? Why would you give him one when he's coaching the opposing team? Makes no sense. Well, you don't give tribute videos while somebody's still here. John, when you leave us in the future, we wish you the best success possible.
Let's remember the times as they're going on.
That is an interesting idea, though. Just go ahead and give a tribute video to Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
Philip, we appreciate all you've done to this point.
I had the time of my life. He's still here.
Beautiful.
Yeah, interesting. We got some interesting stuff. Yeah, I'd like to real quick just take a little bit of an issue with Robert here.
Okay.
Says, surprise, y'all still have a listening audience as much as y'all call them stupid, LOL, about your Aaron Rodgers thing. First of all, were you telling our listeners stupid?
No. I was directing most of my rant at the NFL media.
Yeah. I mean, Greg
Doyle specifically has written a piece where he doesn't believe that Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, which is the most asinine thing I think I've read.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Doyle works at the – I haven't read the column, but it is asinine. I mean, like you said, like, you can see it. I mean, I've seen just on Twitter in general, and haven't really stopped to pay attention sometimes who's saying it, but I've seen a lot of the – this can't be real. Well, okay. Again, it reminds me of DeMar Hamlin. Like, I mean, everybody's out looking for conspiracy. Sometimes they actually exist.
Sometimes.
And sometimes, you know, it's the video evidence right there for you. So no one's calling our listening audience stupid. Although, Robert, your text was stupid. Doesn't mean you're stupid, but your text was.
I'm just going down the rabbit hole of tribute videos while they're still playing. That would be awesome. I think it's what we need to switch to. We need a Roman Yossi tribute video tonight.
If they had a good game
yeah,
last
just
game
give it to them.
Before
Here
the game.
It is.
Look at your goal from last game, Kiefer Sherwood.
That's really a great thought. I like it.
Real-time tribute videos.
In general, and this is no disrespect to John Hines or Matt Irwin or anybody, but in general, I am all for fewer tribute videos. Let's save the tribute videos for like Matthias Ekholm and Ryan Johansson and guys that, you know, had big impacts here.
I mean, Matt Irwin got one?
Yeah.
You said Wayne Simmons got one?
I need to double check, but I feel like I've seen a Wayne Simmons tribute video, but I need to go back and double check that. But I know that Matt Benning and Luke Cunningham got a tribute video.
Wayne Simmons played 11 shifts with the Preds, and none of them were good. What would the tribute – would it be like, here's some highlights from you with the Flyers. Here's some Flyers goals
Simmons,
you scored.
It might have been just – every now and then they've done the, hey, welcome back, Wayne Simmons, or whoever. It may have been one of those. I need to go back and double check.
Okay.
But I know that Matt Benning and Luke Cunningham got
Matt Benning, yeah, what? Yeah, please stop. It's kind of like the – sorry, Preds, but the banners, the tributes, make them more quality – by making them a little less frequent, right? Make them count a little bit more.
And put glorious domination with it when you do it.
Yeah.
I'm all for
it. Actually, if you get rid of glorious domination, then you can tribute video every single person who's ever worked at the arena, as far as I'm concerned.
Coming up next, speaking of the Preds, we'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Hinote. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Join us tomorrow on Robbie and Rex Road, live from the grand opening of a new Dunkin' in Franklin at 1441 New Highway 96 West. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 6 to 9 a.m. Stop by and have your chance to win lots of great prizes. Looking forward to being out there tomorrow morning at the grand opening of a new Dunkin' in Franklin at 1441 New Highway 96 West. We are scheduled to be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hinote here in just a few minutes. We'll look forward to that conversation with him coming up. Preds going for win number 7 in a row tonight. Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, by the way, on a 9-game point streak right now. So didn't have that one heading into the year, but he is on a 9-game point streak at the moment. We talked about some of the reasons for their success yesterday, and a lot of the conversation that I've seen, not only here locally, but I had some people that I work with at the NHL texting me about it yesterday. Like, we think these guys are for real. Like, are they a team that can hang around and compete for a playoff spot all year? And I don't know that the answer to that is yes, but there are a lot of encouraging signs that we talked about yesterday in terms of the chances they're generating, the offense that they're generating. Power play's been pretty good as of late with Andrew Burnett in charge of that. And now your goaltending's starting to come back around to what you expect from UC Saros. So there are a lot of things about their game that are going really well right now, beyond the obvious of just the 6-game winning streak, that made me think maybe you can sustain this. Now that you got Minnesota tonight, and look, say what you will about John Hines, but we've seen this in the league before, Joe. There's something about it. When you fire your coach, a lot of times there's an immediate kick in the pants to everybody else around you.
Yep.
And Minnesota fired their coach. They've been playing terrible, and they came out, and they looked really good the other night against St. Louis. And it was funny, Michael Russo in The Athletic caught up with Dean Evason, former head coach of the Wild, and kind of was talking to him about the process of how he got fired and all those things. And Evason in the article was like, yeah, I watched their game the other night. They looked great after they fired me. It was kind of funny to watch. So there is something about this league where when you fire the coach, a lot of times you'll see that team – kind of get a kick in the pants in the immediate aftermath of that. It may not lead to long-term success, although there are examples where teams have fired their coach midseason and won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, sometimes that gets people woken up.
Yeah, it is interesting because, like, take the NFL, in-season firing, you know, we think the Panthers about to rip off some wins? I don't think so.
Did not go well for Jeff Saturday last year either, although I think they did win their first game.
Yeah, they did have – they had a little, I guess, a little bit of a bump. But yeah, ultimately, it didn't do anything. I mean, the thing about the Wild is that this is a team that most people pick to get to the playoffs and should be better than they have been. So it's a team that has some actual potential to be good, unlike, say, Carolina. But it is weird how that works in the NHL. I'm trying to think of, like baseball, basketball, in-season firings. I'm sure there are examples of managerial changes where,
you don't see it as much as you do in hockey. For whatever reason, hockey, they fire coaches all the time in
their
sport.
They love firing their coaches and doing tribute videos for them they fire them.
There's that too. But I mean, Pittsburgh won their cup in 2009. I think Bylsma took over midseason for them that year. You know, Mike Sullivan took over midseason when they won their first cup in 16. You mean the St. Louis example. I mean, there's three examples right there in the last 20 years of teams firing their coach midseason and winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Not saying that's happening with Minnesota, but just for whatever reason in this league, firing coaches midseason happens a lot.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question of why. I'd like that answered. Maybe someone has explored it and I just haven't read it, but – you know, obviously, in some cases, like, you're changing system. I mean, the examples, like the Pittsburgh example, right? That's a loaded team at the time with, like, Crosby still in his prime. So you knew you had the goods to do it.
Yeah. Ricky brings up an interesting example in the NFL. Now, this, I think, is more to do with the previous coach's total incompetence. But the Raiders playing better after they fired Josh McDaniels this year. It may have more
to
do with Josh McDaniels just being an absolute disaster with some of the stuff coming out of there. But
they are
playing better.
Maybe. They are playing better. I mean, I think Pierce maybe has a shot to coach his way into the job. You don't see that. And that's the thing, too. Like with the NHL, well, that's where it's very different, right? In the NFL, you don't ever say, okay, now here's our full-time next coach right now. Here you go.
Right.
In the NHL – where it's just like you got the recyclable coaches just sitting there ready to be tapped. It's like, okay, you're in. It's like no one thinks John Hines is just the coach for the rest of this year. He's their coach.
He's a multi-year deal.
Not their coach. I mean, he's got a multi-year deal.
Yeah. And Peter Laviolette got fired one day, and 15 hours later, John Hines had a multi-year deal here in Nashville. That's how it works.
Yeah. They started the search, and boy, that search go fast.
It did.
Yeah. So that is one difference, I guess, is like this is the new regime, whereas in the NFL, you can't – there's just too much schematic – I mean, there's too much of an overhaul required to be able to do that, so right. You just go interim. So you're basically doing the same stuff. In the NHL, you may be doing very different stuff, and it just may be, I guess, I don't know, refreshing, other than like the voice in the room that we always talk about, maybe just playing a different style. You've been stagnant, and you embrace it. So maybe the Wild are like, yes, I want to be hard to play against John Hines hockey.
Oh, that's what makes – like, I think – it's been interesting to watch Brunette to this point because I do think, like, systems-wise, the Predators are starting to figure out the way that he wants them to play. But I do think his style is pretty interesting just in terms of being a player. And not just – like, there are a lot of coaches that are former players. There are not very many coaches that are former players that have played over 1,000 games and have put up the type of career – the Andrew Brunette. Not that Andrew Brunette was like, you know, Wayne Gretzky or anything like that, but you just don't see coaches that have his level of success in the NHL coach a lot. And it has been interesting to see kind of his demeanor in there because it's been very direct. Like, it's, you know, even when they're winning games, like the other day, you know, they won the game. He's like, well, you know, now we finally gotten to one game over 500. We'll see if we can get going now. Like, it's like it's – he's been waiting for it to crank up, and he's not – even in the midst of a six-game winning streak, he's not willing to be like, yeah, we, you know, figured things out and things are smooth sailing now. It's like, well, now we're finally back at ground zero. Let's see where we can go from here. It's been interesting to watch his approach.
He's got some great, you know, press conference comments. I mean, it's – all due respect to John Hines, who I like. It's definitely an upgrade in the press conference quotability
at realm, times.
Right? Yeah, I mean, not always, but yeah. Like, there are some, I think, a little more explanation of things, maybe.
The way he thinks the game is really
Hines
interesting.
Could, yeah, Hines would have some very good, at times, explanation of stuff, too. So, but I'd say it's a little bit of an upgrade. So are you saying that Brunette is sort of like a comparison, a comp to Vrabel in terms of...
probably not as high level
not as high level,
as Vrabel, but
but a little bit more?
Yeah.
That's true, because basically the star players in this league go front office.
Yeah, for the most part. Like, you know, Gretzky coached the Coyotes for a minute.
That's like Magic tried to coach, too. And it's like, yeah, great players can't coach.
But for the most part, like, there's not a ton of great players in the NHL. They get in, like, Yzerman is in front office.
Right. You know,
they go Sackick, that
route. Sackick
in front office. So, and again, not that Andrew Brunette is Steve Yzerman or Joe Sackick, but just saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that.
So, I think... the way that he thinks the game, we hear, you know, people talk about that all the time, like the way he thinks the game is just a little bit different. And I think that's been, like, I do wonder, and Jared brought this up yesterday, like Forsberg, obviously he's a good player. Obviously he's got a ton of ability, and we've seen him make plays in this league that are really elite. But it feels like he's putting it together right now at a level which he hasn't done before, which credit to him for that for sure. But how much credit should Andrew Brunette and his system get for that too? Like, I don't know. But it's the early returns on whatever Brunette's doing with Forsberg are very, very good.
That's a fair point. And of course, when Hines was here, there was a lot of, and I think in a lot of cases, overblown system holding people back.
Yep.
But I mean, look, you emphasize something or you want a little more here, you're going to take away from something else. I mean, that's what it is. It's kind of a shell game in terms of what you're emphasizing. It does seem like Brunette, and we've had this discussion on the show. Well, we've had it actually with High Note on the show about how he sees players even, right?
Yep.
Like what he can see in a player that maybe some people can't see. So you hope that, of course, translates also now moving forward to younger players getting the most out of them.
The Chase and Big Joe Show will be live from the NASCAR Awards today at the Music City Center, brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Learn more at greentreescompany.com. Coming up next, we'll get into a little Vanderbilt football, some coaching changes being made. What does this mean for the future of the Vanderbilt football program and for Clark Lee specifically? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecallstn.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from 8 to 8:30, talking all things NFL. Joe, some changes made to the Vanderbilt coaching staff. We talked the other day about the firing of the strength and conditioning coach. Now, offensive coordinator Joey Lynch has been let go by Clark Lea and the Vanderbilt football program. And defensive coordinator Nick Howell has been essentially demoted. He's remaining on the staff, but he'll be a coach in the secondary. And Clark Lea is taking over play calling duties, defensive coordinator responsibilities for Vanderbilt moving forward. So the OC out at Vanderbilt football, and Clark Lea stepping in as defensive coordinator. What do you think of that? What do you think of the idea, number one, of, I mean, look, firing the OC, not really that much of a surprise. When you're 2-10 and the season went the way that it went for that group, I figured the coordinators could probably be in trouble based on what we saw there, so I'm not surprised by that. It is intriguing, the idea of Clark Lea taking over as DC. Obviously, he was defensive coordinator for Notre Dame before he got hired to be the head coach here at Vanderbilt. You brought it up earlier. I mean, there's a lot of examples where that doesn't go very well when you make that decision deep into your coaching tenure, but what do you make of that decision by Clark Lea to step into that responsibility?
Yeah, it's – and I'm sure if somebody has an example of it working out great, let me know. I'm sure there are examples of it being a good decision. I just can't think of any. Usually it's – I think a lot of times a decision like this is basically a decision out of necessity, losing, maybe even desperation. You know,
desperation was probably the
desperation
term
might
be
use. Yeah, it often applied to a move like that. And obviously with Nick Kalman, maybe, you know, who knows? I mean, he may look to move on too after this. I don't know. I think Vanderbilt fans who have been agonizing with this team each week wanted – I mean, Vanderbilt fans I know seem to, you know, not like the coordinators, but that's typical, right? If a team's losing, especially if it's like, you know, you're still pretty early in a coaching tenure, you look at the coordinators. And I'm not saying you can't upgrade there, but I think, you know, I think that there's some limitations on both sides of the ball weekly in the SEC that just – it can make any coordinator look bad. Also, this team was way below expectations and didn't play well against bad teams either. So it's like there are coaches who are play calling coaches, both sides of the ball, that it's effective. So maybe it will be more effective. Josh Heupel has been a play calling head coach. We know in the NFL there's several play calling head coaches offensively. Trying to think, are there any defensive play calling head coaches? That used to be a little more frequent, I would say, than it is now. I don't know if there. Yeah. No one comes to
no
mind.
No one comes immediately to mind.
Again, I'm uninformed, so people in text line, do my
hit
job
us up
for me. And, yeah. But it's interesting because I thought maybe there'd be a little bit – I thought maybe they'd hold out till signing day. I think it's – you know, frankly, it's more honorable to do it this way. And to move on, and Clark Lea has said he's going to start a national search for an OC. I'll say this, Clark Lea, regardless of calling defensive, being the DC, I don't know how that, you, what you worry about is how does that impact your big picture head coaching?
Right.
But I would, if I were him, I think he should be very open to different schemes with the new OC. And just try to find someone who's obviously really good. You know, one of the keys of trying to find a coordinator, even like a, you know, maybe it's a position coach who gets a chance to be a coordinator. You know, was this coach, you know, basically on scholarship with just tremendous talent and there's no real, you know, the coaching itself was not a part of the success? Or has this coach demonstrated an ability to do more with less? Because you have to do more with less at Vanderbilt. But also, I would say creativity and even a totally different scheme should be embraced here as a possibility. Because you got to do more to bridge the gap, and the gap is going to be there next year. It's a huge gap almost every Saturday. Well, not almost. Every Saturday in the SEC.
Well, and then we've talked about the departures in the transfer portal with A.J. Swan and Ken Seals leaving at the quarterback position. Patrick Smith, running back, entering the transfer portal yesterday. So some losses continue to come for Vanderbilt that way.
And he's been passed by
Cedric
Alexander.
And he's been passed by, yeah, exactly, anyway. So it's not necessarily surprising there. But it bears repeating, like, are there going to be more Vanderbilt players that decide to enter the portal? You know, and we see this sometimes even when the fan base is totally out on a coordinator or a coach or a position coach, whatever it is. I mean, sometimes those guys have great relationships with some of their players, and when they're fired, sometimes you see players move on after that. So is that going to happen now in the aftermath of this with Vanderbilt? I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, like I said the other day, you know, the young receivers, you know, Sherrill and Humphreys in particular. I mean, Alexander, you know, some of the young Gunnar Hansen, you know, CJ Taylor, and there are some good young players on this team. And even older players who can look elsewhere, and that's where, I mean, Vanderbilt has to devote some of the collective money to keeping some of those guys. And, you know, you may get outbid, but it's like, I think one of the biggest benefits Vanderbilt has is, you sure you don't want to stay here and have a Vanderbilt degree? I mean, that should help you if you can be at least somewhat competitive with the money with some of these players who can get paid to go elsewhere. And then you also have to have a chunk of that money set aside to go get a quarterback.
I think you and I probably disagree a little bit on the timeline here that Clark Lea is looking out. I think one thing that we could probably both agree on, this offseason heading into next season when they finally get on the field is going to shape the way this thing goes for him. And it's so massive. Like, he's got whatever coordinator hire he makes for offensive coordinator, you know, his decision to take over as DC, like, it's got to work. Because if it doesn't work, then I think he's out of time at that point. We've talked about the schedule next year. Like, the schedule for Vanderbilt next year is going to make things really difficult. I mean, I know, you know, we play paper schedule all the time, and rarely does it play out the exact same way that we think it will on paper. But paper schedule next year is not very good for Vanderbilt. They got a whole lot of tough games next season. So this next hire that he makes as offensive coordinator is gigantic for his future and his tenure at Vanderbilt.
No doubt. I mean, it's the coordinator, retaining players,
yep,
finding a quarterback, holding on to recruits. They've had some decommitments. What does it look like on signing day? I mean, again, the recruiting has been good. I mean, for Vanderbilt, it's been very good, but I thought we'd see a little bit more of that evidence on the field this year. We didn't see enough of it. We saw some. There were some good young players, but you got to have more of that. And then how much of the recruiting class are you going to hold on to? College football, negativity starts and it snowballs, and it is hard to overcome. You know, it just is. Now, this is a different place. I mean, it's just hard in general to get anything going at Vanderbilt, and the James Franklin three-year, like, I just call it a three-year magic trick. Like,
yeah.
I think as we get further from that, that becomes a little bit less of a, like, this is what you should be doing. I mean, I don't know how the heck he pulled that off. He is a great, but he is
– well,
look, he does some things extremely well in terms of recruiting and selling a program out the putt, right? I mean, he did a heck of a job.
We've not seen anything close to it since then.
Yeah, but I just think – it's going to be harder. The last 70 years, that was a blip on the radar.
It was a blip on the radar, and, you know, I've said this before, and it's not been a very popular comment from Vanderbilt fans, but I think it's the truth. You know, James Franklin did a great job here. He sold the program and was intentional about selling the program more than any coach I've ever seen before at that school. And at the same time, Florida's down a little bit. Georgia was down a little bit. Tennessee was down hard. And
sure.
It was, I mean, all of those things factored into how he was able to pull that off.
Like, I don't think, you know, James, same guy, give him a 3-year stint at Vanderbilt. Yeah, I don't think he comes close to 24-15. That'd just be my guess. And another thing about that is, I mean, Bobby Johnson overall didn't have a successful – he had a lot of time to build it, and he actually did build a pretty solid program. Like, James Franklin inherited some pretty good players.
He did.
So you got to keep that in mind, too.
A lot of people loving the idea of Vanderbilt running the option or the triple option on the text line.
Yeah, I've heard that for many years. And I think something like that, or like what Coastal Carolina does, which is a little bit more of a modern pass-oriented type of offense like that. I think some kind of – look, like the Briles offense. I mean, I think something like that, but the problem is – and this is where it's going to be interesting with Clark Lee. Clark Lee is a defensive guy. Defensive yep. guys like – they like an offense that can run the ball, can be physical. I get it. Like, I get the lure of playing physical football. It's just so hard to play physical football straight up in this league
yeah.
at Vanderbilt. So I embrace that idea, something more creative that can sort of level the playing field a little bit.
Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 13 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
The doctor said I could watch practice from the press box today, so I'm fortunate I get to do that.
Will you wear a helmet in the future?
I probably will, yeah. You know. Well, when I came out of a ditch, there was a lady there that had flagged down a car. And the guy that was in the passenger seat said, get in, we'll just take you right to the hospital instead of waiting. And so I got in the car and they headed towards Fayetteville.
Thank goodness there was a lady there.
It is that time of day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. I hadn't heard that one in a while. That one brings back some memories. Shout out to Bobby Petrino, now the new offensive coordinator at Arkansas. Coming back home, Joe.
What does Bobby Petrino have on people?
I don't know.
Like, does he, like, you know, that's a total cliche. Like, oh, he must have, you know, damning pictures of this person or that. Like, explain to me anything about this. I mean, I understand college football. Like, if you got someone who is can help you win,
yeah.
you can throw all the morality and flush it down the toilet. I get that. But, I mean, Bob Petrino, what did he do for Jimbo?
Nothing.
For anybody who doesn't know, by the way, I guess I should probably back up. Bobby Petrino has been hired as the offensive coordinator at Arkansas. And for people who don't know what that audio was, that was Bobby Petrino with his neck brace and his scuffed up face at a press conference making up a fake story about how a nice lady flagged down someone. It was actually a woman who was on the motorcycle with him, who he had been having an affair with, who worked in the athletic department, who he got a job for, who he got money for. Like, the entire thing is insane. And, you know, that was in 2012. That was a long time ago.
You're welcome.
I forgot about that.
But another, great find. But also, there's this, I guess, this idea that Bobby Petrino is still an offensive genius.
Yeah.
I said this yesterday on another win over Jared and Jared versus Joe. Chip Kelly was that guy, and still, like when Tennessee, and everyone was talking about Chip Kelly, I'm like, that would be terrible. And we've seen it at UCLA. Chip Kelly had a moment in time, and this happens a lot, and you could kind of look at the Browns offense maybe. But I think it's still pretty effective. And there's some things that just, like, if you execute them, they'll work. But Chip Kelly had a moment in time at Oregon where people could not deal with that offense.
Yeah.
And he had great players running it, too. You know, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he didn't really – I mean, that program didn't even have NFL quarterbacks until Mariota came along. He was – you know, then he was gone. It was his successor. But he had that moment in time where that offense was so ahead of everybody else. He was an absolute commodity. He was a disaster in the NFL with two franchises, and it's just he's at UCLA. I mean, I guess he gets another year there. Bobby Petrino reminds me of that a little bit in that, you know, Bobby Petrino has had this reputation as being an offensive genius, but when is the last time we actually saw that on the field?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be the Arkansas interim coach next year, six games into the season, because Sam Pittman's going to get fired. Bobby Petrino did an interview with Chris Lowe, ESPN, with a lot of, you know, I really appreciate Sam reaching out and trying. Coach Pittman had the, all right, quote, "I've always been a Razorback fan, rooted for them, know how hard this last season's been. So when Coach Pittman had the idea of me coming back, I was immediately interested. Like I said, it was almost a dream," end quote. Sam Pittman, this was your idea? Is that true? I mean, he's just going to replace you when you get fired next year. I mean, the whole thing, Hunter Yurachek, they're all fired. Yeah. I'll tell you right now that a year from now, we will sit here and they will all be out of the job. All of them.
I agree.
Yurachek, Petrino, I think, and Pittman. I guess Petrino will get his chance to be interim coach of Arkansas again.
Which and, is amazing.
You know, and I guess maybe if they do well, they'll stick with him. But what? If there are any Arkansas fans out there right now, do you have any excitement about this? Like, well, it's just not 2012 anymore.
Well, and this is the other thing. Everything you just said, I'm with you. The other thing, like from the Arkansas perspective, it's like sometimes is there not somebody around there that says, "Hey guys, you know, we've kind of gone down this road before. Let's do something else. Let's maybe take a look elsewhere at offensive coordinator." Not, you know, look, there have been more serious infractions committed by people than what Bobby Petrino did at Arkansas. But sometimes it's just good to leave the past in the past, you know? And it feels like this is just something where it feels like somebody in Arkansas's inner circle there should have looked around and said, "Hey, guys, do we really think this is a good idea to bring in Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator in 2023?
I mean, yeah, who – right, like who the heck – I mean, you want your AD to do his job, but how could there be no one in the administration saying, "Hunter, what are you talking about?" I mean, I got Blake on the text line saying, you know, "Woo pig suey, Rex, don't mess with Bobby. He made Arkansas great. We're glad he is back." Really? You are glad he's back? This is exciting. This is exciting for Arkansas fans? Okay. That's one. If anybody has anything to counter that, I'd love to hear it. But here's another thing. And this is something that this goes back a long way for me. Actually, I mentioned on Jared, and Jared has some dealings, of course, as a Louisville grad who used to cover him up there. I'm going to see if I can find this tweet from Stephen Godfrey about this. Stephen Godfrey has, you know, covered college football for a long time, and this is another poor job of me not being ready to have something. Yeah, here we go. So there's some tweets. Some of these players are excited. "Yes, Bobby, all right." Stephen Godfrey. So Stephen Godfrey says, so it's actually Petrino tweeted out a picture of him and Ryan Mallett,
Ryan Mallett.
Who, of course, tragically died, you know, in Florida this past year. So Stephen Godfrey quote tweets that say, quote, "This is touching, but in 20-ish years of working in this business, I've never heard about a coach more demeaning to his players, assistants, and support staff than Bobby Petrino," end quote. And Stephen Godfrey's not the only person who said that. So, I mean, he better be a freaking genius.
Yeah, better be.
Look.
Well, by the way, KJ Jefferson is expected to enter the transfer portal as well. So,
right.
Look, I know things did not go great for KJ Jefferson and Arkansas offensively this year. So it's not a surprise that that's happening and that people are moving on there. But you are going to have to find another quarterback now.
And yeah, I suppose he could get in there and this could be, you know, drive up price and come back. It's possible. But yeah, it's just, other people, Nate says, "I got a Razorback friend. He's a good coach. There's several that want him back in Arkansas." Like, move on. Get someone new. Get someone who's coming into their good coaching. Michigan State just hired Jonathan Smith from Oregon State. I feel terrible for Oregon State because he's a very good coach. He's a young coach, early 40s. He's coming into his best coaching. All these Michigan State fans want a freaking Urban Meyer. Again, it's like Kansas fans are excited about Les Miles. All right, come to Kansas. Charlie Weiss. No, get someone who's about to have their best coaching, not someone who is – whose time has already come and passed, not to mention all the problematic things about Urban Meyer. And I don't – Arkansas fans, it's not going to go well for you. I'm sorry.
I can't talk about this anymore. The first thing I when you Google Bobby Petrino is the picture of him in the neck brace. And I can't have a serious conversation about it when I'm looking at this picture right now.
It's an all-time. And that was a great, you know, right around 2012, 2013. That was a very popular, and if it was done well, a very good Halloween outfit. Yes. Bobby Petrino neck brace.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.